Hello, and welcome to the ILTA podcast series. I'm Amanda Sturgeon with Brian Cave. Today, I'll be interviewing Adrian White, the Chief Information Officer of WilmerHale, on the topic of getting started in the CIO or IT director role, either from a promotion within or a transition into the role within a new firm. So thank you for joining me today, Adrian. First of all, can you give me and just the rest of the audience a little background about how you came into this role and WilmerHale?
Sure, happy to do so. So a little bit of an interesting story. I was actually at Wilmer for 12 or 13 years in various different roles, sort of working up from a senior analyst position all the way up to effectively the number two position within the information services department. And information services at our firm incorporates what's traditionally thought of as IT, records, and the law library, and was in various capacities. And then left Wilmer to move to Arnold & Porter as that firm's chief information officer, was there for 3 or 4 years. And then when the position of CIO opened up back here at Wilmer, folks reached out to me and asked me if I'd be interested in coming back. And so, you know, we talked and it seemed like a good fit. And so now I'm back as chief information officer.
That's great. I often hear about CIOs crafting a first 90 or 100 days plan. Did you craft something like this when you changed firms? I know you mentioned you went to Arnold as well. So, and if so, how did you go about it? Or if not, what did you do to establish your initial priorities and goals coming back to Wilmer?
Yeah, it's a great question. I actually, you know, and I may be embarrassed to admit this, I didn't have a plan, but what I had was a plan for a plan. And that's what I hoped was good enough. I went in to talk with folks and really based the discussions always with every single person I spoke to on three simple questions. Actually, four questions. Three of them came from a Harvard Business Review article some years ago on three questions for effective feedback. And the three questions are simply, what should we stop doing? What should we keep doing? And what should we start doing? And so as I joined the firm, in both instances, when I went to Arnold & Porter and when I came back to WilmerHale, talked with folks and asked those three questions of people at all different levels of the organization, you know, people within the IT and information services departments, associate staff and other administrative departments, partners, other members of the leadership team. It really was a simple discussion in each instance of what should we stop doing? And that's in some cases the hardest question for people to answer. Of all the things that we're doing now, are there things we should simply stop, cease doing, and identifying those things that you really want to just end? What should we keep doing? What are those things which are working well? They're highly effective. They're generating value. People appreciate. We want to make sure that we're protecting those things and we keep right on doing those things. And then what should we start doing? What are the things that, you know, maybe you've wanted to do for a long time and the firm hasn't gotten around to it? What are things you're hearing about that others are doing that we need to make sure that we put on our roadmap? So what are those things that we stop, keep, and start doing? And then I added one more question to that, which is, you know, if you were me, what would you do first? As a means of asking people to prioritize all the things we discussed. And by keeping to those really simple questions that didn't require a lot of explanation, I was able to gather a lot of information about what the needs and opportunities were across the firm, and to then synthesize from those the themes that were emerging. Were there consistencies in what people were saying? Were there patterns that surfaced? And from those themes and patterns, we developed initiatives that became the plan of work for the groups as we launched to the next few months after I arrived. So those questions and talking with lots of people, that took, you know, that's try me with as many people as you can. And so that was probably 30 or 60 days worth of just talking to people.
Interesting. I mean, that sounds like a really great, though, use of time. And I'm sure as you kind of took on that role, the staff really appreciated that investment. So that's really interesting. Which is perfect because I kind of wanted to transition then to talk about the people side of this. So it sounds like, you know, your approach to your staff was a really one-on-one, let's get in there and understand what's going on. How did you actually go about evaluating the staff individually? And also, was there anything that you did upon joining the firm to let people know that there wasn't going to be the concern of terminations or role reductions just because you had joined the firm in this capacity?
what I tried to do and what I still try to do is to make people feel safe. And when people feel safe, you learn a lot more about what their capabilities are that might not have shown, you know, emerged before, what they're willing to do, what they're not willing to do. So what I tried to do in terms of the messaging was to lay the foundation for the kind of environment I wanted to have. So I told them, you know, in large groups, both of my management team and people outside the management team within the department that I'm responsible for, kind of what I think I'm good at and what I think I'm not good at, and to means to, you know, ways that people can work with me effectively and ways that I think they're going to have, you know, not as much success because I'm simply not good at this or I'm better at that. And trying to create a culture where there's a feeling of transparency, that if I can make myself sort of more open and vulnerable in exposing things that right away that people should know I'm not good at, then maybe they'll do the same thing. And to make sure that they feel safe coming to me with challenges they're running into, I stood, you know, at the front of a room full of, you know, lots of people and in video conferences with all of our other offices. And I stood at the front of the room and said, listen, when we make a mistake, and each one of us makes mistakes all the time, when we make a mistake, I want you to feel comfortable, like raise your hand up and say, hey, look at my mistake. Check out my mistake. Everybody come look at my mistake. So we all learn from it and then we won't make it again. So that it's far more important to surface mistakes and make sure they're not hidden. And so that's, for me, was the most important thing in setting the tone for how I would like my leadership to be within the department. So I spent a lot of time talking to groups, small groups and big groups within the department and even outside of the department, talking about how I wanted to do things rather than what I wanted to do. And if people, you know, could hear that, if they believe in that, if they buy into that, then I got a lot more people coming to me to explain what they're working on, to sort of open up to me in a way that showed me what their particular areas of expertise were that we might want to make sure that we're building on.
And with that, I want to kind of switch gears now to actually talk about the attorney perspective of this. So did you meet with a set of attorneys when you entered WilmerHale? And if so, how did you determine who and what were your goals going into these discussions? And then also, I'm interested, from these talks, was there anything that you learned from the partners that actually surprised you?
I did meet with lots of lawyers at different levels, and they were in that same group of people that I asked the simple questions of what should we stop, keep, and start doing, and what would you do first if you were me? So what I did really was to begin with my management team to say, who do you think I should meet with? And that's usually pretty easy for people to answer, for management to answer when they're talking about partners. I got a list of partners from the management team, would then reach out to those folks. And what I did in all instances was to take my list of interviewees with me and to show them to people after I had had a discussion with a lawyer, with a partner and with non-partners as well. Show them the list and say, hey, here's who I've got on my list that I'm talking to. Is there anyone else I should be talking to? And so among the bigger offices, I definitely got a list of practice leaders to speak with. And then to go on sort of an office tour of some of the smaller offices and meet with the office leadership, because you get a very different perspective from people in smaller offices than you do in bigger offices. So it was a continually evolving list of people who I was speaking with. And the key hope in those was simply to refine that list of needs and opportunities that was emerging from the simple questions. So, you know, I'm a simple person. So if I have a simple methodology, it keeps me on track. In terms of surprises, when you've worked with lawyers for a long time, you tend to have fewer surprises because everything is a surprise. So you get numb to them. But I guess what I was surprised about is the, in some respects, the consistency of feelings across firms that seems to be geographic based. So culture, I learned, was more tied to specific geographies than it was to specific firms. So, you know, the kinds of behaviors and experiences and hopes and needs you'd see from lawyers in a particular city in California were really consistent across firms in a way that there was less consistency from firm to firm. So the culture was based more in the city than it was in the firm as a whole. That was a little surprise for me as I worked across firms.
And my next question really ties perfectly with that notion, which is specifically about firm culture. And as we know, every firm has one, but each is very, very different. Did your view on firm culture change upon joining WilmerHale, which it sounds like you had some surprises coming in? Did that view change for you?
It did, Amanda. And some of the surprise actually, and what I've learned is that culture, it's true that each firm has one, but what's been a surprise to me is that a lot about the culture is less about the firm and it's really about the people, right? So the people are at the heart of the culture. And as you get changes in leadership, the culture changes. And sometimes that's very intentional on the part of management. They want to change the direction. They want to affect culture through that change. The individual leadership styles of management change the way information is shared, changes the decision-making process. All those things play into the culture. And the key is trying to both support the culture where you can and distinguish yourself from the culture where you need to as you try and work within the culture of the firm. And so what's been interesting to see over time, and I've been through management changes in both the firms where I've worked, is to see how much culture can change with leadership changes. And so you have to really stay attuned to those changes. And as you step into an environment you don't know, be ready to pay close attention to those people who are in the leadership positions, which have that profound impact on culture.
And so now that you're settled within your role and looking back with the benefit of hindsight, with all of these understandings that you've just mentioned, what would you have done differently?
I think, you know, what I've learned and maybe what I would have done differently is temper my own expectations, right? I mean, the challenging thing when you step into a new job is that there's so many different directions that you're tempted to go that you have to slow down and say, that's a rock I simply don't want to turn over right now, or I'm going to pretend that I didn't turn it over. And so learning to choose your battles, I think, is an important thing that I certainly had to learn as I stepped into a job. And I thought, well, I see something's broken here. I want to fix it right away. And when you try and do that too much, too quickly, I think it can be very unsettling for the staff who have been here for a while and working. And when you come along and you think, I want to make a change, and a change is needed, you have to be cautious in how you implement that change, right? So part of what I tried to message to people this last time around as I changed jobs, which I learned from the job change before, was that while, you know, we should owe no allegiance to the status quo, and that doesn't mean we need to resist the status quo, it simply means we should owe no allegiance to it. And I think that for me was a big learning experience, that, you know, people feel safe in the processes and approaches they know. And when some new guy shows up and starts messing around with things, that can be unsettling for people. Even people who aren't resistant to change, just the fact that it's new makes it uncomfortable. And you have to make sure that you're helping people move along with you, not really forcing them to.
Thank you so much for your time today and sharing your experiences with us. As we kind of wrap up here, do you have any last piece of advice you'd like to add?
You know, I think the only advice I might add is that you just try and get your bearings when you get there. And for me, what I needed to do was to make sure that I wasn't immediately trying to prove my value. And this is a little bit of a difference from some of the literature that's out there, you know, what you're supposed to do in the first 90 days or so. Certainly, you don't want to look like a bozo, but the firm has already decided that you're an important person to have there. And so I would just say be cautious about desperately trying to prove your value right away. Make sure you get the context, make sure you get the culture and domain knowledge before you start making changes.
That's very great insight. Well, thank you again, Adrian, Chief Information Officer of WilmerHale, for your time and for sharing your knowledge and experiences.
Thank you, Amanda.